Because I believe that there is an anointing here this morning. And I believe that the Lord wants to do some things in your heart maybe that you've not allowed him to do before. And so there is power in the presence of God to break yokes of bondage. Where the anointing is, there is freedom. And it's the anointing power of God that sets us free. And Jesus is the anointed word. He is the anointed word that became flesh and dwelt among us. Jesus. Jesus. Holy and anointed one. Jesus. If you guys know this, sing it with me. Jesus, 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 risen and love you this morning. We're so grateful for your presence. We're so grateful that you are alive and living today. Your word says that we have been raised up together in Christ, that we have been made alive together in Christ. We have been made alive together in you, Jesus. Because you live, we live. And so this morning we put our expectation in you. We put our trust and our hope in you. Father, we want to leave here different. We ask you, Holy Spirit, to open the eyes of our hearts and to give us revelation, light of the hope to which you have called us, because you have called us unto good works. You have predestined our lives to do good works for your kingdom. And I declare every heart we open this morning, and I declare every ear to hear what you would be saying, Lord, even if it's a completely different message than what I'm saying. You speak to them, Lord. You know what they need. And I thank you, Holy Spirit, for anointing my tongue as a ready writer to proclaim your truth upon their hearts, God. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Do you guys remember that song?
Yes.
That's, well, I don't know how old it is, but when I first got born again, that was one of the songs that we used to sing in our youth group. Thank you for doing youth ministry. Amen. It is so necessary. Yes. You know, because teenagers, they need someone to pour into them. Not just a parent. Parents, you're necessary. But a youth leader, a youth pastor who truly wants to pour spiritual truth and spiritual provision and life and help them walk out the destiny that they have. Just as important the kids are, just as important you are, teenagers. I did youth ministry for, 5 years before I started traveling. It's a lot of fun. Yeah. Teenagers are crazy. I was crazy. But I found out the call of God in my life when I was in youth group. I was 17 and I was on a mission trip with my youth group. And it was on that trip that the Holy Spirit said, Josie, I remember I was on my knees in Peru. We were having a worship service. And the Lord just began to deal with me. And he said, Josie, I'm calling you to be a full-time missionary in South America. I said, yes, Lord, let's do it. You show me how, you show me the way, and I'm ready. And so when the Lord spoke to my heart in November 2011, sell everything and go. Go to Brazil, and you're going to work with the indigenous. I said, all right, Lord, I'm ready. And it was right after that when I connected with you guys. So the Lord wants to prepare his generation for what is to come. The Lord is going to speak to us, and sometimes we think, all right, it's right now. That was 11 years ago when the Lord spoke to me. I'm 28 now. I don't look like it, but I promise I am. Sometimes people say, God, are you like 2021? Shoot, when I'm 40, 50, I'll look a lot younger. It's great. But truly, the Lord speaks to us. He wants you to know him. He wants you to listen. He wants me to listen. He wants to interact with us because he's a living God. People around the world who worship other gods and they have all these other religions, they're worshiping dead idols. These dead idols who do not have ears to hear or eyes to see or lips to speak, but we have a living God, gosh darn it, and he wants us to know him. Am I getting too loud in here? Oh, he's such a personal God. And so I have lots of stories about working with the indigenous. And you know, people want to experience a good God. They want to experience a life-giving God. The indigenous people groups, they're not afraid of spiritual things because they operate in it, in the demonic. They have witch doctors, and they have chiefs that are directed by demonic powers. We have the Holy Spirit, who is the Spirit of God, and everything else is not of God. Okay, angels are great, but the indigenous people groups, they have their own religions. They worship their own gods. They worship the sun, the moon, the stars, the tree, everything that is not God, the creation, but not him. And so this last trip, real quick, I live in Manaus. Manaus is the capital of the Brazilian Amazon. In this past year, the Lord finally said I could have my own place. After 2.5 years of traveling, me and my suitcase, trucking it from city to city, from village to village in a backpack, dear God, it's about time to have my own place. Whew, I can take a shower in my own shower, sleep in my bed. Ah, I got a couch right before I left and came back to the States. Oh, it's great. So, where I work in the Amazon is on the border of Brazil, Colombia, and Peru, and I work with an indigenous group called the Tucuna, and that group was put on my heart in 2012 as I was headed in to the Amazon the first time. And you know how the plan of God just begins to unfold and unfold and unfold? Because he says something, we take a step, we obey. He speaks something else, we take a step and obey. It's a journey, it's a faith walk. That's why it's called the faith walk. Because we walk by faith, walk by faith. Anyways, so this last trip, I took a team of one American woman who was traveling with me for 3 months. She sold everything as well. The Lord told her to sell everything. Put Brazil, India, and Africa on her heart, and the Lord told her to come to Brazil first. All right, sister, come on, travel with me for 3 months. So she came with me, and then I had two young women from Manaus in my home city. They traveled with me, and we got on a plane, real quick plane ride, to Tabachinga, about 2.5 hours. And Tabachinga is the border city between Colombia and Peru in the Amazon. And we jumped in a car and headed across the border to Colombia and connected with my contact. Her name is Edelaney, and she's a Rhema Colombia graduate. So we got Rhema USA, Rhema Brazil, and Rhema Colombia all working together. Amen. The body of Christ working together. And so these girls had never done any type of work with the indigenous. Never have slept in a hammock, never bathed in the river, never cooked over an open fire. Exciting. Facing mosquitoes, all different types of bugs that you could possibly think of. I wear the marks of Jesus all over my legs. No joke. And so in September, before that trip, we had pioneered a new work, and it was an incredible, it was incredible. And in September, we were going for the first time, and my contact had never been able to go back, so it had been about 3 months in that waiting period, and so we were like, we need to go back to that village, and that was on the Colombian side. So we took this team, and we had two people with us from two other villages that we've pioneered work in. So we've gone, pioneered work, raised up other people, and now they're going with us to do missions work. That's what it's all about, is raising people up to send them back out. Reaping the harvest to make disciples. And so we have two indigenous people traveling with us with their kids, and then I have my team of ladies that have never done this work. And so we show up in this village. They're not, they have no idea we're coming back. And the head chief and the chief have both changed positions. So they're no longer the chief or the second chief. So we have to figure out who the chief is, where the chief lives, who the second chief is, where the second chief lives. And no one seems to be home. So we're walking around the village, and we left our team sitting down by the river guarding the boat with all of our Bibles and books and water supply and food and bug spray and hammocks and tents. And, you know, they're all guarding the stuff because we don't know if we can stay. If we don't talk to the chief, honey, you can't stay. You can't override authority. That's just not okay. So we finally figure out where in the world the second chief is. But he... Long, cold story, I'm not going to go there. So we finally get a hold of him, and we set up camp in this guy's house. And it's an incredible time. And chief at the time was the... Oh, Jesus, I'm mixing up my stories. I have too many stories, I'm sorry. Okay, so this second chief, the first time that we arrived, he had heard that miracles were happening, and we had set up camp in his house. We hung up our hammocks. We were cooking food over an open fire in his house and just building a relationship with his family. He was from another indigenous tribe and married into the tribe, and he was voted in to be the second chief, only 22 years old. And so he said, Josie, you've been going around for the day, and you've been ministering to the, well, not, he didn't say ministering. He said, you've been working with the children, and I've been hearing miracles. Healings have been happening, and I wanted to know if you would pray to your God to heal me. I said, oh, really? Good, because he can. He had two fused discs? Yeah, there we go. And two hernias. He said, it hurts to walk, it hurts to sleep, it hurts to play with my kid. So would you pray to your God to heal me? I said, absolutely. So I call my team over, and we lay hands on him. And the glory of God just falls. It's the anointing power of God that breaks the yoke of bondage. And so we prayed, and the glory of the Lord, just the presence of God, fell, and he began to weep. And he couldn't contain himself, and he's saying, what is this presence? And he was like falling back. What is this presence? Why can I not stop crying? What is this? And he was just falling back and falling back, and finally sat down on a bench, and his little kid came up to him and held daddy's legs and started crying. Daddy cries, baby cries. What's going on? You know? And finally he kind of got control over himself, and he just looks at me and's like, how can I have this with me every day? The presence of God is real. Amen. The presence of God is very real. And we are carriers of that presence because his life is in us. And so it will flow out of us. And so how can I have that presence with me? That's a hunger that can only be satisfied with a relationship with Jesus. And so that gave me an open door to preach the gospel to him. How can one hear unless one is sent? We are sent to be preachers of this gospel. That's what the Great Commission is to preach the gospel to every tribe, every tongue, and every nation. So in that moment, he got born again. He got instantly healed and started jumping up and down. And then got baptized with the Holy Ghost. Started speaking in an unknown tongue. Like 2 minutes after he got born again. You don't have to be a Christian to get baptized with the Holy Ghost. You are qualified the moment you ask Jesus into your heart. You know, Jesus told his disciples, don't leave Jerusalem until you receive the promised Holy Spirit, because he will baptize you with fire, and it will empower you to be a testimony. That's the power of the Holy Ghost. He's in us. The Bible says that we live and we move and we have our very being in him. The Spirit of God that raised Christ from the dead lives on the inside of us. He lives in us. And so this second chief got born again, instantly healed, baptized with the Holy Ghost, started speaking instantly. And then guess what happened? The chief told us we could have an open meeting. Whew, good news. We could invite the whole tribe, everyone who wanted to come, the whole village. And this village was one of the biggest villages that we've been to. There's a couple thousand, because typically they're between 50 and 100, maybe 200 max. Oh, that was exciting. So we get all these people to come. Oh, P.S., before the meeting started, because people were hearing about the miracles happening, they were knocking on the door wanting us to pray for them. Come on now. People hear about miracles, they want to know what's going on. How do they get it? Show me how. I'll tell you how. You better believe it. All right, so we're praying for the sick, and we're like, all right, guys, we got to get to our meeting. Why don't we all just, you know, walk down the dirt together? Walk down the path together, holding little kids' hands and make our way. And this time I got to preach in English because I had a woman with me who could translate it into Spanish and then translate it into Tucuna. But more often than not, I have to preach in Portuguese because I'm now fluent, glory to God. And then it's translated into Spanish and then into Tucuna. So I've learned how to preach and to teach and to talk in very simple language. Sometimes that's hard because in English we're very flowery. We like to, you know, fluff things up. Come on, ladies. Honey, let me give you a detail of this and this and this and this and this and this and that. You got it? No, just give it to me plain. Am I right? I'm not married. I don't have any kids, so maybe I don't know. But I'm on my way. I'm going to get married someday, and I will have kids someday. Anyways, so we have this open meeting with the villagers that came. It was so beautiful. Because the second chief who got born again, healed and baptized with the Holy Ghost, he's the one who translated it to his own people. God used him to preach the gospel to his own people that same night. And then I asked this question. How many are here and hearing this message for the first time? How many hands do you think went up? All of the hands, because the gospel had never been to this village. Woo! Glory to God. And so every single person lifted their hands and said, I want to know Jesus. I'm not saying the whole village got born again, but the people that came to that meeting did. It was about 150, maybe 160. And then preach the gospel, and what happens? Signs, wonders, and miracles will follow because God confirms his word. Yes, he does. So they all come up, and guess who I have standing next to me? That's right. He did. And I said, God wants to use you to pray for your own people. Because within the Tucuna, within most indigenous people groups, they have a witch doctor, and only he has the power to heal, or he only has the power to curse or to do whatever he does. But I said, you are a believer, you are qualified, you now have the spirit of truth living on the inside of you, and he wants to use you to reach your own people. Okay, so he comes over and I said, do what I do, put your hands on him, and we're going to take authority over sickness. So blind eyes were opened, deaf ears were opened, scoliosis was healed, stomach problems were healed, things in this area were healed. And then he goes, I got to sit down. I can't stand it anymore. Hello. Anointing. Amen. I love this. We don't play with the anointing. It's not a game and it's not a joke. It's very serious. It's we are reverencing God with the promise that he's given us. And all glory goes to him. We cannot do what we do without him. He does go before us and he does pave the way. He goes before you. His presence will go before you. So that happened the first time in that village. And as we went back again with my team of young people, am I making sense in my stories, kind of? So we go back again with this team of young ladies and with other people from different villages. And as we were going door to door that week, people were telling us, we've been having visions of dreams about you guys coming back. The Holy Spirit was preparing the way. He was preparing hearts. And when you spend time in the presence of God and you just pray out his plan and you decree and declare the word, guys, he is going to go before you. And whatever mountain is before you, whatever circumstance is before you, he will prepare the way. Working with indigenous people groups is, it sounds, you know, like an adventure, and we're trucking it through the jungle carrying Bibles, and we're sweating, and we don't know where we're going to sleep, we don't know how we're going to eat, but we trust him, and he prepares the way. I love my life. Our life is an adventure with him. And you might not be called to the jungles of the Amazon or to Uganda or Kenya, but God wants you to enjoy your life. He wants you to truly wake up every day with an expectation. Lord, how can I trust you in this area of my life? How can I trust you with my husband or my wife? How can I trust you with my children? How can I hand this burden over to you? How can I consecrate my life? 2 weeks ago, I was ministering in Arizona to a youth group. They said, who in here knows the word consecration? How many hands went up, do you think? Zero. And I looked at them. Consecration, guys, what do you think it means? I don't know. Set apart. We are set apart, but it also means to lay down your life, to submit your life. Jesus consecrated his life for your life. What did he do in the Garden of Gethsemane? He consecrated his very will because he knew what was to come, but he saw the future so he could go through the very process. God wants you to consecrate your life so you can go through whatever is before you to make it through to victory. There is victory because he consecrated his life. He was raised from death to life for victory so we could know him. And so sometimes we don't understand, well, Lord, why am I going through this? It doesn't matter why you're going through it. Consecrate it to him and let him get the victory through it. In Romans it says, he will work all things together for our good because he loves us and we are called according to his good purpose. That's his word. But when we moan and groan and whine and complain and can't focus on the one who will help us walk through it. Walking through the jungle can be tiresome. You get hot, you get thirsty. And God, you gotta walk in love. Woo-wee! Working with people, you gotta walk in love. I'm serious, guys. So during that trip when I told you I got to preach in English, it was because my woman contact, she recently told me a couple months ago, Josie, I got sick that night because I was in a fence. She was supposed to translate for me, but she had gotten so sick she couldn't stop vomiting. And we all prayed over her and we took authority over the sickness. And right before we were supposed to preach, she said, I have to go. I can't. I got to go lay down. And then a couple months when I went back, after that, she said, Josie, I was offended with one of the other ladies in the team, and that opened up the door to sickness in my life. And because of that, I could not fulfill what God was asking of me to do. If you are in offense with people, you cannot fully walk in the plan that God has for you. It's huge. It says in Mark 11 that we are to forgive because we have been forgiven, so he can hear our prayers and answer them. Amen. God wants us to enjoy our life. He has an adventure set aside for you individually, whether you're 5, 10, 28, 30, 70, 80, doesn't matter. You are never too late to walk in the plan that God has for your life. I got to get a drink of water, excuse me. That too, yeah. That's okay, thanks. Are you guys getting something this morning?
Amen. Yes.
I promise I'll get to scripture, but, you know, telling stories are necessary.
Yes,
some people have told me, Josie, I just don't know how to relate to you. Okay, let's break it down. There's nothing wrong with that. I'm a human being. I'm first and foremost a child of the living God. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. You are not just a mother first or a wife first or a husband first or a father first. You are a child of God first. And that's why it's so important that we have a relationship with him, because I cannot give what I do not have. But when I receive from my Heavenly Father what he needs to give to me, I can effectively give out to the people that he's given to me to give. Okay, John 17. I love this. I thought I was going to go to Psalms, but we're not going there yet. Okay. John, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John 17. Now, I have the Amplified. So, ladies, you're going to love it because it's wordy. It's full of description and detail. So if you have a different version, just follow. Just follow here. Okay, John 17. And I want to preface it with this. This was Jesus. In John 14, 15, and 16, Jesus is talking to his disciples, and he's preparing them for the Holy Spirit that is going to come. And he talks to them about resting in his peace. Just trust me. Know who I am. I'm here to represent the Father. And if you ask anything in my name, I will present all that I am to the Father, and I will give it to you. John chapter 14, John chapter 15. Jesus says, I am the vine and you are the branches. If you do not abide in me, you cannot bear any fruit. But when you bear fruit and when you allow the Lord to cut off things in your life that are not bearing any fruit, you'll be able to bear better fruit and even more fruit. But you got to be connected to the vine. You got to be connected to him. So he's telling us about the Holy Spirit, to have peace, to ask him anything in his name, and he'll give it to us. And then he says, be connected to the vine so you can bear fruit. And then he says, God will be glorified in your fruit. But you can't bear fruit unless you're connected. In John chapter 16, then he goes even to talk more about the Holy Spirit. So if Jesus continues to talk about the Holy Spirit, how important do you think he is? He goes on to say that the Holy Spirit is our comforter, our counselor, our advocate, our intercessor. You know, he'll fight for you. He stands on your behalf. He will speak to you and give you counsel and wisdom when you ask him for it. So that's John chapter 16, and he's also talking about peace. In John chapter 17, Jesus, whoo, he's so good to me. And this is before he goes to the Garden of Gethsemane, and he's talking to the Father, and he's just praying, and he has such compassion in his words. And I want you to get this. John 17, verse 22. I have given to them the glory and honor which you have given me, that they may be one, even as we are one. I and them, and you and me, in order that they may become one, perfectly united, that the world may know and definitely recognize that you have sent me and that you have loved them even as you have loved me. Holy Jesus. Verse 24. Father, I desire that they also, whom you have entrusted to me as your gift to me, may be with me where I am, so that they may see my glory, which you have given me, your love gift to me. For you loved me before the foundation of the world. O just and righteous Father, although the world has not known and has failed to recognize you and has never acknowledged you, I have known you continually, and these men understand and know that you have sent me. I have made your name known to them and have revealed your character, your very self, and I will continue to make you known, that the love which you have bestowed upon me may be in them, felt in their hearts, and that I myself may be in them. Those words are full of compassion and full of love, and he prays to the Father, Lord, the world has not known you or recognized you, but these men have. I pray that they would be one, even as we are one. And he said right here, I have revealed your very character. That's what we are called to do here on this earth. Jesus came to reveal the heart of the Father, the character of our Heavenly Father, The love, the peace, the healing power, the restoring power, the goodness of a good God. That's what separates the Old Testament from the New, is that we don't earn it, we can't strive for it, we can't sacrifice anything except for receive the blood sacrifice of Jesus. And it is because of what Jesus did on that cross that we can come boldly to the throne room of grace to present our requests unto him. Only through him can we know God. And so he is saying that I have revealed your very character so that they might know you. And our job here on this earth, in our families, in our day-to-day life, and going through the grocery store, going to the doctor, whatever you have to do in your day-to-day life, our job is to reveal who Jesus is, because Jesus always reveals the love of the Father. You know, well, people just say, or you might say, you know, I'm going through this and this and that, and people say, well, just look to Jesus. Look to Jesus. Well, what does that mean? How do I look to Jesus? The Word. The Word is Jesus. How do you look to Jesus? Just like this? Look up? No. Yes, you lift up your eyes because the psalmist David said, I lift my eyes up to the hills. Where does my help come from? My help comes from the maker of heaven and earth. So yes, we look up, but we have to look to the Word. Look to Jesus by finding him in the Word, finding him in the Scripture. And when you find those in him Scriptures, those in him realities, guess what else you find? Who you are in him. Who? Say this with me. Pick up your Bible. This is my Bible. I am what it says I am. I can do what it says I can do. And I have what it says I can have. There you go. That's your confession. You know, we create the very world that we live in by the words that we speak. Jesus was trying to teach his disciples, walking with them daily, about the revealed Father. But in John chapter 14, you know what they said to him? Show us the Father and then we'll be satisfied. And he's like, come on, guys, how long have I walked with you? What have you seen me do? Multiply fish, multiply bread. Come on, a coin came out of the fish's mouth to pay taxes to Caesar. I healed the sick. I raised the dead. What else do you want me to do? Walk on water. He did. How much more do you need me to show you? Come on, guys, you know him. You know him. When you look at me, you look at the very Father. I came down from the Father, and I have done my job, and I go back to the Father. Jesus knew exactly what he was doing on the earth, but he had to consecrate his very will to follow through on the knowledge of his purpose. You have to consecrate your life. It's not always easy and it's not always comfortable. You know, people, we need sleep, right? If we don't sleep, we don't function. I've realized that I need about 8 hours of sleep at night. 6 hours just doesn't do it. Some people can function on 3 and 4. Yeah, that's not me. Even if I get coffee, I still need sleep. But you know what? The Lord is going to wake you up in the middle of the night, say, get up and pray. I need you to pray. Even if you don't know what you're getting up to pray for, you get up and you begin to pray in the Holy Ghost, and you pray out whatever needs to be prayed out, and that's consecrating your will to sleep to pray out the plan. Before I've walked out anything that I've walked out in my life, I prayed it out. When I got born again, I love Joyce Meyer. You know what she said? You start your day and you finish your day on your knees. Woo! Hello! You know why? Because it's a sign of surrender. You're humbling yourself, because the Bible says that as we humble ourselves before the mighty hand of God, he will exalt us in due time. Humble yourself before God. And when he wakes you up to pray, pray. I was back in Phoenix. That's my home base here in the States, because my family's there, or the majority of my family. And I was driving from one place to the next, and as always, I have a busy day, as you saw on the video. And I saw this woman on the side of the road. She was asking for money. And you know, I don't mind giving money to a person on the side of the road. It's not my money. It's the Lord's money. He says, give it, give it. And then I don't care what they do with it. I obey. But the Lord this time, I was getting off the freeway. She was on this way, and I was going that way. So completely opposite. So I turned right, and the Lord said, turn around. I said, okay. So I turned back around, and I can't just turn around. I have to go back down the freeway a mile to turn back around again to go back down the left side to see this woman standing on the side of the road. And I pull over, roll down my window. I said, what are you doing? She said, well, my husband and I, we've recently moved here, and we both don't have jobs. We're losing our house, and da-da-da-da-da-da-da. And so I had like $15 of cash, and I had a book called Decree a Thing, and It Shall Come to Pass. And it was only the word, just the word, on different things in our life, whether it be about healing and restoration, forgiveness, whatever topic. And I said, I just drove around for the last like 10 minutes trying to get back to you because the Lord told me I needed to give this to you. I gave her $15 and the word. The word is the only thing that can solve your issues. Heart transformation creates behavior modification. You want a transformation in your life? Start in your heart. Heart surgery from the Holy Ghost. Consecrating your will, consecrating your heart, opening your heart up to the only one that can set you free and heal you. We have too many believers not yielding their heart to the Lord, and so therefore their whole life hasn't been transformed. Heart transformation creates behavior modification. You want to stop drinking, you want to stop smoking, you want to not have a coffee addiction, or Mountain Dew. Or you want to have a better relationship with your spouse. Man, I've been talking about this recently a lot. Let your heart be transformed. A man cannot arise above the condition of his heart. As a man thinks in his heart, so is he. Out of the abundance of your heart, your mouth will speak. I've decided in my own personal life, I said, Lord, I want you to teach me. I need supernatural help from heaven to be able to have a marriage when that day comes and to not put ministry over that. I want to have a marriage that represents Christ and the church. I want to be able to give out of a flowing, healthy marriage. I don't want to just give in ministry and not be giving to my family. And so often we have families that are not just in ministry, but in life in general. So many people focusing on the exterior rather than the interior. We all have things in our life that we want to work on, guys. But God needs your heart. Consecrating to the Lord is a position of the heart. Humbling yourself before the Lord is a position of the heart. Going to the nations is a position of the heart. Ministry is a position of the heart. Ministry is an overflow of my relationship with him. Healing is a position of the heart. Restoration is a healing, is a position of the heart. If you don't know that God can heal you, you truly cannot receive the healing power from him. God wants the very center of who you are. It says in Proverbs that we are to guard our heart above all else, because out of it flow the issues of life. And when we trust him with our very heart, we can trust him with everything that we are. I can trust him with my finances. I can trust him. If his word says that he's my healer, healing belongs to me. I can trust him that if he says that if I raise my children in the way they should go, they will not turn from him. Even if you're seeing something completely different in the natural, I can trust him. There's this song, I trust you, I trust you, I trust you, Lord, I do. I'll never even worry that I might not see it through. It's a choice by faith to see with eyes of faith. Am I making sense this morning? I don't just like to come to a church and tell stories about missions and then not teach you the word. I want to give you the word. I want to give you a plate of meat to eat. The stories and the laughter is wonderful because we're supposed to have fun in life. But God wants our hearts to change so our lives will change. And I am so grateful for your partnership and what God is doing. I'm so thankful for your pastors and for Barbara, who's received me into her home this year. I had a fun time with her family last night playing dominoes. Lord, I haven't played that in I don't know how long. But her grandkids wanted to come over and play dominoes. Awesome! Let's play dominoes. We had some delicious pie, woo, and ice cream and tea. It was great. God is all about relationships, guys. I've traveled all around the world, and I have relationships in every country that I've been to. But the most important one is the one that I have here. There's more. There's so much more that God is wanting to do in your lives. There's so much more. And God wants to impart a vision into you that you've never seen before. And that comes from sitting with him in his presence, allowing him to speak to you, listening to his word. I have several ministers that I just listen to and soak up all the time. I'm just listening to the word, listening to the word, listening to the word. Because what happens when I listen to the word of God? My mind is renewed. The word of God says that I am washed by the water of the word. That my mind is to be transformed. That I'm not to be conformed into the ways of the world. So how am I not going to respond or react? How am I not going to do that? By having a renewed and transformed mind by the word. How can I love you with the love of God unconditionally? Having a renewed mind by the word, which produces a change in my heart, which produces a change in my responding and my reacting. Am I making sense here? It all goes together. Can I ask you to get back on the guitar? Or piano or whatever, either one. The Lord took me to Psalms, and I believe that this is going to speak to some people. The word should always speak to you. Always. Even if you've heard it 500,000 times. You know, Brother Hagin always said, you hear, you hear, you hear, and then you hear, I'm going to preach on Mark 11:23 again. I don't care how many times you've heard it, I'm going to preach it again because that's what the Lord has me preaching. Faith, faith, faith. Because faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not yet seen. If you need change in your life, you have got to get your eyes in this book. Look to Jesus by looking to his word, not by talking to everybody else around you, not by complaining, but the word of God says that I am to bring my supplication before the Lord with thanksgiving. And then the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will mount guard upon my heart and upon my mind. So we're going to go to Psalm 62. I'm going to kind of bounce around. Verse 1. Psalm 62, verse 1. For God alone my soul waits in silence. From him comes my salvation. He only is my rock and my salvation. My defense and my fortress, I shall not be greatly moved. Whoo, King David. Verse 5. My soul wait only upon God and silently submit to him. For my hope and expectation are from him. He only is my rock and my salvation. He is my defense and my fortress. I shall not be moved. What is David doing? He is letting the word come out of his mouth. He is my rock and my salvation. I will not be moved. My soul, wait on the Lord. Get your soul in line by speaking the word. With God rests my salvation and my glory. He is my rock of unyielding strength and impenetrable hardness, and my refuge is in God. Whew. Refuge, a place of rest, a place of security, a place where it doesn't matter what is going on around you. Psalms 91, trust in, lean on, verse 8, rely on and have confidence in him at all times. You people, you, pour out your hearts before him. God wants you to be real with him. No masks. No pretending. Be real with him. God is a refuge for us, a fortress and a high tower. God wants you to talk to him. He wants you to be who you are before him. He is your rock. He is your refuge. He is not moving. It's a good thing. He doesn't change because we do. We are constantly in motion, constantly changing. But he says that I am the same yesterday, today, and forever. I am the God that changes not. Thank you, Lord. He doesn't change. His love for you does not change. Even when you mess up or don't do what he asks of you, or when you don't speak in love with your spouse or with your children, or you're driving on the road and you get upset with the driver, or you get impatient, his love for you doesn't change. His grace towards you is, whoo, his grace towards you empowers you to do what you cannot do on your own. That's what grace is. It's unmerited, unearned favor. And it is by grace, through faith, that we are born again. And his mercy is renewed every day, guys. Pour out your heart before him. Come to him. Let him restore who you are inside. Any brokenness or shame or judgment is not from him. Because the word of God says that there is no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. If you're feeling condemnation or shame, that's not from God. That doesn't come from him. He says that it is my goodness that draws men unto repentance. You know, when we go to these villages, we don't tell them that they're in the wrong by worshiping false gods. They are just doing what they're taught. They are following tradition of their tribe. But when you follow tradition of man, it will deny the power of God. That's what the Pharisees did. They were stuck in their tradition, and they denied the very Christ who was before them because they couldn't see it. But Jesus came to reveal the Father. Let him be revealed in your life so you can reveal him.